And thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk, Rob Center on the other side of the glass. And directly in front of me is Movie Mike McGranahan, a professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Do as I do. Follow him on Twitter, at aisleseat. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg. His first review, the main review, scariest. You keep bringing me these scary trailers.
Yes.
Pray for the Devil.
Pray for the Devil stars Jacqueline Byers as a nun who becomes the first woman ever allowed by the Catholic Church to study exorcism. She gets experience fast after being recruited to help drive a demon out of a possessed little girl she previously befriended while working in a hospital. Over time, it becomes clear that the demon isn't really after the girl, it's after her. Ever since The Exorcist scared the stuffing out of America back in 1973, we've gotten a string of horror movies trying to duplicate its success. Most of them are identical, filled with spinning heads, levitating bodies, and people vomiting pea soup. Pray for the Devil actually has an original spin on the idea, introducing a woman who is trying to become the first female exorcist. It's therefore incredibly disappointing that the movie quickly pushes that idea aside to focus on all the usual exorcism movie cliches. Some of the effects are cool, and Byers is pretty good in the lead role, but the film fundamentally ignores the most interesting part of its story in favor of generic shock scenes. It's too bad nobody bothered to exorcise this movie of its own demon, predictability. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 Linda Blairs.
Okay. Well, that's why I like the trailer, because of all the things you said were there, all the usual
stick. You get to see that in the trailer. You don't need to go see the whole movie for that.
So I sense in your voice this is a big disappointment. You kind of thought you were headed off into a pretty original direction.
Yes. I mean, I've seen countless exorcism movies, and they all try to rip off The Exorcist, and very few of them do it well. And I started watching this one. It's like, hey, they're bringing in a female exorcist, and maybe they're going to challenge some of the male-centric ways of the Catholic Church. That could be interesting. It could be interesting to see a story of how a woman approaches exorcism differently than men. And the movie just does none of that. It just gets into all the usual stuff. There's a shot where the demon's hand comes out of the little girl's mouth and somebody crab walks up a wall. It's the same stuff we've seen over and over and over again.
I see what you're saying. I remember when I saw the girl walking up the wall, and that's in the trailer. Anybody can see it. So I thought, oh, well, geez, well, here we go. This is
right. We've seen it a million times.
Okay. All right. So just two there. But the actress, her name again?
Jacqueline Byers.
She does a super job.
She's good. She seemed like she was up to handle a deeper exploration of the character. It's really disappointing that they didn't give her a chance.
Have you ever thought of writing a screenplay? You know the flaws that are in a bad one, and you have identified many of the great elements of a great movie.
It'd probably be fun to try. But I think my skills are best used in... and cheerleading for stuff I like.
Observing, right. Yeah, making sure good stuff gets raised up and maybe warning folks or, you know, letting folks know about things that you don't like quite as much. All right, so Pray for the Devil 2.
Linda Blairs.
All right, in honor. And the Exorcist came out, what was it?
1973.
Wow.
Boy. And still the best.
Okay, time marches on. All right, next movie, Causeway. We head to New Orleans for that.
Yes, this is the new Jennifer Lawrence movie. She plays a wounded veteran who comes back from Afghanistan, returns home to New Orleans, is trying to deal with the trauma of her injuries, and she meets and befriends a garage owner played by Brian Tyree Henry. Two great actors here. He has his own form of trauma, and the movie is just a really quiet two-character drama about how these two individuals with trauma help each other work through some of that. It's not a story where a lot happens. It's a movie where you have to watch the characters and listen to what they say and pay attention to their body language, because a lot of it's under the surface. But with these two stars in it, it really pulls you in. So Causeway debuts today on Apple TV+. I give it 3 stars. Again, the two leads are the reason to see this one.
All right. 3 stars in Apple TV+. Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence. We have not seen that much of her. Is that true, at least in terms of what some actors and actresses do?
She kind of pulled back a little bit. She was in Don't Look Up last year. But for a while there, she was making like 2-3 movies a year, and she scaled back a tiny bit.
Okay, so we'll look forward to seeing this and the next one. So just 3, needed more substance, I guess, to get above that?
It just doesn't have a lot of story to it. Like I said, it's mostly just these two characters talking. And I think the movie only runs 92 minutes. I think there was room that they could have fleshed some things out a little more. But Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry are fantastic actors, and they're so good together. So that's the reason to see it.
Okay. Incidentally, I'm halfway through the Good Nurse.
Oh, I think
it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first, I thought you were just describing a Lifetime movie, but boy, they play the heck out of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 times deeper than that. Okay, so yeah, I recommend that. That's on Netflix. Soft and Quiet. I had no idea. Even the trailer is a surprise.
This is my pick of the week, and this is a film that's under the radar. It's available on demand starting today, so you can go and rent it. And it's about a school teacher, an elementary school teacher, who organizes a white supremacist women's group. And the women sit around and they air their grievances about minorities. And then they decide they're going to go back to her house for wine. When they stop at the store to buy some, they have an encounter with two biracial women. And I don't want to tell you what happens next, except to say that it's absolutely horrible for everybody. Soft and Quiet is the most shocking and most disturbing film I've seen all year. And I've seen Terrifier 2, but it is such an important portrait of what's going on with racism in this country. Of course, we know from Charlottesville and other things that racists are far more emboldened these days. And more than that, they're in other quarters. You know, we're finding out that sometimes it's our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our doctors, our kids' teachers, that sometimes those people are among these white supremacists or have very racist ideas, and that's what this film looks at. But what makes it notable is that they shot the entire 92-minute movie in one unbroken shot. And what that does is it makes the whole racist incident feel like it's happening in real time. And the actresses, of course, have to maintain the intensity throughout. There's no taking a break, doing another take. They have to maintain and build on that level of intensity. And the cumulative effect of this is absolutely harrowing. So it's called Soft and Quiet. You can rent it today on demand. It's from Blumhouse, the popular, I mean, they mostly put out horror movies, but this is more of a drama, thriller kind of thing. But I think that this is one of the best and most important films of the year, so 4 stars.
Okay, so 4 stars for Soft and Quiet, filmed over, it's portrayed as a period of, what, 90-some minutes, so it literally starts at 10 a.m., we'll say, in this person's life, and at 11:30 it's over.
Right.
And this whole thing happens in between there, and what was it, 1917 that was done in this way?
1917, the war movie, was done the same way. And that can be a gimmick, the single take thing, but both of these movies really use it powerfully. And what it does here is it just makes it feel like you're right there, like it's really happening. It gives it a sense of urgency and immediacy that is just harrowing to watch. And I know that probably sounds like something people wouldn't want to see. It's like, well, why would I want to subject myself to that? But this movie is a real thriller, and it will keep you hooked the entire time.
Okay. Right. Well, yeah, like the movie 1917, you think, oh, 90 minutes of war. Well, but it's, what an adventure. Okay, so Soft and Quiet, 4 stars. On demand, so what we're talking, like Hulu, Amazon, things like this?
Amazon Prime Video, Vudu, Google Play, iTunes, anywhere you rent movies, you should be able to find it.
Okay, Soft and Quiet, 4 stars. Great thriller done in that single, not single scene. Well, I guess what, single scene?
Single take.
Okay, single take. There you go.
And kudos to the camera operator who followed everybody around for 90 straight minutes and got everything in frame.
How about that? Yeah, amazing. Well, kudos to the actresses.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
I mean, that's just crazy being on for that long. So, all right, well, fantastic. Okay, so that is Soft and Quiet. Some other headlines very briefly. The Winnie the Pooh horror movie is coming out soon.
Inspired by the box office success of Terrifier 2, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey is getting a theatrical release in February of next year.
People can't see this big smile on your face.
It's just such a bizarre concept. I can't wait to see it.
Okay, so we want to see that with the Pooh. And you're saying, what's the date?
February 15th. It'll be a special engagement in theaters, much like the current Terrifier 2 had.
Okay, so the news here is that we have a date. We knew they were making it. We talked about that before.
Right.
All right, Father Stew's coming back to theaters.
I don't know why this movie didn't do well when it came out earlier this year, but they're re-releasing it in theaters December 9th in a new PG-13 cut. If you've seen Father Stew, it kind of needs to be rated R in order for the film's message to work. So I don't know what this is all about, but if you missed Father Stew the first time or you didn't see it because it was rated R and you didn't want to hear the language and stuff, new PG-13 cut coming.
Wow. Wow, why?
And it's already on video and stuff, DVD, so right. I don't know why they're putting it back in theaters. Doesn't make sense.
The movie theater wanted more teenagers, although teens get into our movies now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I don't quite get the logic
behind
it.
It's kind of an odd one. All right, what's the update on E.T.? The newsroom sent something out. I wouldn't say that I read it myself, but what was that?
Yeah, the original E.T. mechatronic figure used in the movie is up for auction. And it's likely to go for $3 million. So this is the actual physical
E.T.
robot. I mean, it's called robot or animatronic E.T. used in the film. So if you've got $3 million bucks and you love E.T., you can buy that at auction soon.
Who doesn't love E.T.? There's the first criteria out of the way.
Exactly.
But, of course, the $3 million or so, well, who knows? It's an auction. You could, if you get two glonkzillionaires that love E.T.
yeah.
Or they want it for their kids
more.
Or something, right? It could go for a lot more. All right, well, we'll pay attention to that. Movie Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
for
me.
Coming in. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. His Twitter handle, @aisleseat. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.